Get started.
Let the record show that everyone is here with the exception of Gussie. I haven't heard from her. She normally lets me know. She may be showing up too.
Yeah, she might be.
Any public comment? I don't know if we have anybody in public comment. Kurt, we'll go to you real quick and you can get you out of here.
Millward Courthouse scaffolding is all down finally. We've got some more touching up to do outside, but whenever the weather warms up. Insides, working on requests for qualifications this month for engineering work on heating, cooling, ventilation systems inside. Detention home, Steve and I were just talking a bit about the replacement chiller for detention home. Working on some door replacements and hardware replacements out there. Criminal Justice Center really haven't had any issues with. So.
Good.
Good.
Ballpark, what's that heating and cooling going to cost in the courthouse?
I don't know until we come up with a good game plan on how to fix a lot of things.
It's going to be expensive, though.
Right? Probably. Nothing's cheap anymore.
Anybody have any questions for Kurt? Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from last month? If so, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Purchasing approvals have gone around. I think the main has gone around, and the only we have those special things in the sheriff's office. Has everybody seen those?
No.
The metal detector. Oh, you didn't see it?
Oh, I want to make sure that everybody signed that.
Metal detector. I checked that. And fingerprint. The live scan for fingerprint machines. Did everybody see those?
I was wondering about the live scan. That is, Dr. Diver has one up in the upstairs here. Is this coordinated with him? The contract for the maintenance on this. Is it all one
they're
contract?
Separate, from what he has up there. It's just our machine. Based on the model and type we have, all of those fingerprints that are taken are electronically submitted to the state, shows their requirements. This is an annual maintenance agreement just for our machine.
This thing is worth every penny. You ask anybody that's ever done the ink and the pads, and you get all the way through his fingerprint set, and some guy jerks, and you get a smudge. You got to do it all over again. These things are the very expensive.
Yeah, I did it upstairs. It was interesting.
And ours, you got arrested. Also integrated with some of our records software. So there's different interfaces that ours has that are consistent with.
So this is something you've had on the roll.
Yeah, we have a machine. It's not a replacement of the machine. It's just a maintenance contract renewal that's required every year so that we get proper support. Because, like you said, if that goes down, it's activating.
It's awful. Can you go over real quick this metal detector thing? It's removal of the old one?
Removal of the old one and disposal because, as you know, it has radioactive material in it. So that's part of the replacement package cost. This will be replacing the metal detector at the entrance to the old courthouse. That has reached its end of life. And parts and such aren't guaranteed to be available. And again, if that goes down, then we have to go through to manually scanning people and their items. So we have that in our budget for this year and are requesting that we replace that before it creates a major problem with entry to the courthouse.
This one's sensitive, sophisticated?
More sensitive, more sophisticated. This one has some options that will also allow us to do some training. So it has sample images that are built into the system, so we can use that to try to keep the guy sharp and use that as a training method as the day goes on. It also has enhanced resolution and clarity, so
so what you're saying is training. So if I'm walking through, the computer could just randomly say I had something, and then they would
check me. Whatever image is coming up next, that actually has pre-programmed things so the supervisor can, you know, activate when those training.
But would it be just a random person that walks through that could say?
Well, it won't be actually your person. It's actually the material that's going through the machine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and the supervisor's there during those times. And
okay.
It's especially come in handy when it's slow, because it can have pre-stored images that can go through, and the supervisor can talk them through what they're seeing and use it at that time. And it wouldn't be something that would be used, you know, during high capacity.
So this is just the part that scans the purses and the trays or whatever.
The air goes through.
The metal, actual metal detector that you physically go through is...
this will be the x-ray machine.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, let's start with the bills since everybody's reviewing. Entertaining a motion to accept the bills.
So moved.
Liz?
Second.
Liz?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Mike? I say yes. We'll do the separate resolution to purchase the x-ray machine for $30,705.99. Second?
Second.
Liz?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Mike? I say yes. And a maintenance renewal for the live scan fingerprint machine.
Second.
All those
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Liz, Gary, yes. Robert, yes. Jamie, Mike, yes. Myself, yes. Okay, those are done. Steve, you're up.
Okay. I just have a report that I share with the committee each month. This basically will be the year report, the year report calendar year. So that's the data for the year. Population's up.
Up.
Probably 40, 50 kids. We average 32 kids a day. Last year we averaged about 23, so it's fairly substantial. For us it is, because there's a lot programmatically we have to do with an additional 7-8 kids a day, 9 kids a day. So if anybody has any questions about that, I'll be more than happy.
How many typically of your population are really problem children that cause you nothing but grief the whole day, all the time? Or
probably less than 10%. And what's odd is most of those problematic kids are the lesser offenders, kids that are there for lesser offenses. We have kids on, several kids now on murder. Those kids don't cause us any problems to speak of. Aggravated sexual assaults types of kids, they don't typically cause us any problems. Tends to be the kids on lesser offenses that are just a pain. And we tend to get them over and over again because they're non-compliant on probation and things like that. So.
Any questions for Steve?
I did have one thing I wanted to bring. We have, you know, obviously we do laundry there for the kids. We were in the process now. I had a washing machine looked at yesterday. It's going to have to be replaced. The other one's in bad shape as well. The bearings are going out on it. So hopefully I'll make it to the next committee with a bid. I've already asked Michelle to get bids, but there's a chance that I may have to purchase those in the interim. But they will be done. You know, Michelle will get bids and get low bids for me. And it's something we just have to do every couple of years. We do a lot of laundry, and we're washing a lot of blankets. Kids come and go, so it's not just clothing. It's some heavy-duty stuff.
Industrial type.
Well, we use basically residential washers, the biggest ones we can get, just because they're easier to service. And what we found is when we've had commercial washers in the past, the maintenance on those, getting people to come out and work on them, is just astronomical. So this has worked out pretty well. Every couple of years, we replace them with as big of front loaders or top loaders that we can find, and they tend to hold up for a couple of years anyway. And money-wise, it saves us in the long run. Commercial washers are extremely expensive. You pay $300 every time a guy comes out to look at them. And it's just been, money-wise, it's been well spent to go the other route. And we have a very limited laundry area. So
you're probably using these, what, every day?
Oh, yeah, we're doing laundry. I mean, kids are showering every day. That's done every day. But then you have admissions and releases, so those are where you're washing these blankets, heavy blankets. You know, every kid has two or three blankets, you know, depending on what the room they're in, their alcohol limits, things like that. So a lot of laundry. So I just wanted to warn you that might I might have to purchase those before. The one machine is in real bad shape, and we're going to limp along, but I may have to get into that before we have the next community. I want to make sure you're aware of that. They run about $1,000 a piece, so it's not a huge amount of money.
I don't know if anybody on the committee has any objection. I mean, it's something that you can't do without.
It's something they have.
And Michelle will bid it. She'll give me the best bid. So.
Okay. Any questions for Steve?
Thanks.
You don't know about Judy?
No, she's on vacation this week.
Okay.
So she'll be back Monday. She did not give me anything to bring to the committee.
Hey Steve, how many machines do you have?
Two.
Just two?
Two washers, two dryers.
Two dryers, yeah. That's it.
And that's because that's all the room I've got, right?
Sure.
The laundry area is tiny, so.
Mr. Van Ida?
I was in communication with the chief judge yesterday. I didn't talk to him. He was sending me email because he was at the chief judge's conference in Chicago. So just send regards from him. The chief judge's conference was taking up our application for e-citation, which is electronic ticket. So that rather than the police officer looking up all the information on a driver or a vehicle in their computer and then copying from the computer screen onto their ticket pad, e-citation will actually print the ticket out with all that information on it. One of the main advantages for everybody is that it takes the average traffic stop down from 18 minutes to less than 5 minutes. And that's an advantage because nobody likes to get a ticket, but having to cool your heels while you're late for work already for an extra 15 minutes is bad enough. And so I think that's a very big advantage. And another advantage for our law enforcement is that whenever they're stopped on the side of the road, they're exposed. It's one of the dangerous things that you do. So we're pursuing that, and our application to the Chief Judges Conference and the Supreme Court has been submitted. So they're taking that up tomorrow, and we're actually have met with the Sheriff's Department, and we're looking at our Sheriff's Department being the lead in the county to deploy this technology. So I'm very excited about that. We will be meeting next week with Collinsville, the city manager of Collinsville, city administrator of Collinsville. We've had a satellite court in Collinsville forever, but a few years ago, because of staffing issues, we had decided to go down to a part-time thing where we actually brought the staff back here, and then the staff went there three times a month to staff the court one day in court. The problem with that is that Collinsville is the most populous township in the county. It has a lot of, just by its numbers, it has a lot of business that's there. And there are local lawyers and that will be serviced by a satellite office. And so we're taking a fresh look at that, whether to open up, redeploy the people that we brought here, and open up the satellite office full-time in Collinsville. Again, there may be some changes that the actual facility where the office was has kind of gotten a little stale. We need maybe some fresh paint and some new stuff that has to happen in that particular office for that to do that. And I'll be reporting back to you on that. But just based on service, I do believe it's a good move to make it full time, and Liz and I have talked about it. I hope you can echo my sentiment in that closing it down actually caused problems for people. For things like they can go to their local city hall and pay their tickets just like down in Granite City or Alton, and and I think it's a good service. So the last thing I want to talk to you about, it won't take up too much time, Michael, but I wasn't satisfied with my answer to you regarding the jury.
Oh, okay.
That went through, yeah. And I decided I need to check more on that. The governor did sign the bill. Mm-hmm. It goes effective June the 1st of this year. And what it does is it takes, as well as raising the fees that the jurors are paid, it takes the number of jurors down from 12 to 6. So it kind of gives with one hand and takes away with the other hand. But your question is, where does that money come from? And there was, in the back of my mind from reading the fee book, I knew that there was something there, but I needed to, I don't have it memorized. My chief deputy does, and she told me right off the bat when I brought it up to her. But there's when a civil defendant demands a jury trial, they pay a fee of $212.50. So through last fiscal year, we actually collected $360,000, for those jury demands. That's significant because, that I checked with the auditor's office to find out what we spent on juror fees, and that's bringing in jury pools as well as, trials. And we spent $73,000 total.
Okay.
So the nice thing that the general fund is actually healthier to the tune of almost $300,000 because of these fees. Mm-hmm. And so the increase is actually going to have a negligible effect on the tax, the property taxpayers. That's the good news.
I wish the judge here, because I would like to know what their thoughts are if the juries go from 12 to 6, if they like that, don't like that, because that...
Is it just for civil trials or criminal too?
12 to 6? The way I read it,
it's just civil trials.
Okay, well, that's different.
This is the Code of Civil Procedure, yeah.
Okay.
It amends the Code of Civil Procedure.
Why would they go to an odd number?
They can...
Why wouldn't they do 7? Because you just need a simple majority in a civil case, correct?
Again, I'm not the legislature and I'm not the judge.
I mean, is it possible you're going to get a 3-3 tie?
I'm just sticking to the facts, man.
We all expect Mark to know everything, but that's not his job.
Do we have any jury trials that actually make it to trial, or are they...
Last year we had 35
really?
Jury trials in this, total 35 jury trials.
That's it. I sat on one. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So they usually get called, and people are getting called and everything. They
right.
settle
I,
it.
I do have bless my head. I checked on the civil side. We had 58 L cases that went to trial, but a lot of those were actually they chose to go with a bench trial instead of but.
Mm. I'm surprised it's that low. That's amazing to me.
There's some thought that there's a lot of economy involved in and the system kind of working its way out of before it gets a trial. If it gets a trial, both sides are kind of losing. So,
yeah.
Have you ever known a civil trial that B66 decision?
No. I mean, yes, of course. I think that you wouldn't know what the vote was, but there are that would be called a hung jury, they just declared a hung jury, and I am aware of through the years a few of those have happened.
The bill also provides that if you want to have alternate jurors. There's an additional fee that they'll have to pay for the alternate juror. So if the defense and plaintiff's attorneys want alternate jurors besides the 6 they already have, they'll have to pay an additional fee.
I think I'm up with a figure to $12.50.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah, it's set by statute. So.
Well, that explains it. Okay.
I got a question. I just seen this on the news yesterday about the judges in St. Louis as far as tickets are concerned. They were trying to reduce the amount being paid from the individual according to their fund, their money, how much money they make. And people on fixed incomes, they reduce that amount instead of giving them the full amount. They're going to abide or kind of go with that all the way around both states, or
No, they would have to come up with something separate on that. One of the issues regarding tickets are just the number of fees that we have attached to a traffic ticket, and those fees are set by law. So
they were adjusting because people on fixed income weren't able to go ahead and. They didn't have $50 at the end of the month, you know.
I certainly see that. I can understand the rationale behind that. And again, that's something that's above my pay grade to discuss. But, I do know that most of the bond that people are required to set for a traffic ticket are set now by Supreme Court rules. Mm-hmm. And then how that money is distributed from that bond, if the person goes ahead and pleads guilty or they're defaulted, is set by statute.
The issue was the judge with the power they have, they're able to subtract that. The judges can subtract that amount.
Well, so far as I can tell, the judges do have a lot of discretion when it comes to criminal cases. So, again, I can't speak for the judges. I'm just a clerk.
Okay.
The sign and drive bill was passed and is in effect now also, so we're no longer taking people's driver's license for bond.
On
simple traffic cases, and they do not have to post $100. Oftentimes, you know, the police officer would take their driver's license, and then the person needs to travel. Well, can't travel on a ticket anymore, so they would have to come to the clerk's office and post a $100 bond to receive their driver's license back before the ticket was disposed of. But that's no longer. There will be no bond collected on those minor traffic tickets nor driver's license.
Yeah, so essentially what happens is, as of January 1st, a traffic ticket operates on a notice to appear that person signs and that notice, and then
you're going to have an increase in no pays.
Yeah. That is an outcome of that's one reason there is resistance to the sign and drive. But, you know, from the administrative side, not having to keep track of the driver's license, not having to mail them back, not running the risk of them getting lost between, you know, multiple handling from the police officer to the clerk to the, you know, so they're... It just doesn't, that risk is gone, and then it's more convenient for the person. It's bad enough to get a ticket. People unfortunately, the good thing about the thing about speeding is it's not an intent crime. It's something that we recognize that people just may do because they become absent-minded, but it's necessary to remind them that.
Yeah, that's why I speed every now and then. Just to remind them. I'm going to remember that.
I usually do it because I'm in a hurry. I don't know about you.
But the fact of the matter is, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your intent, it doesn't matter. It's whether you were speeding or not, and you just have to pay. And we do that to remind people to be safe. So that is. But if we can minimize... to the good citizens out there who are getting tickets and minimize the inconvenience as much as possible, that's what we want to try to do. And we do recognize good people get speeding tickets.
So is the procedure going to be the same as fare to appear warrant going to be issued for fare to pay? And then what do? Just electronically notify the Secretary of State that you don't have to send them the driver's licenses anymore? And so they'll be walking around with a driver's license, but it could, you know, more people have a physical driver's license that are actually suspended.
Yes.
And the officers would probably know that when they went back and typed it in.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any, there may be one or two departments small departments out there that are hooked up to with a laptop in their car and are able to look that up just right from their car. In fact, the way that e-citation works is that it'll use the driver's license to scan to where they don't even have to type the information, and scan the driver's license, and it brings the information up. So it cuts down on the amount of time that it takes for the police officer to process a ticket quite a bit.
So you anticipate more failure to appear warrants, too?
Yes, sure.
A lot of extra work, but easier work in some cases.
One thing I learned about this job is that there's very few things that come for free. There's always compromises and compromise is a good way to say it.
Okay, any questions from...
Just know Mark's used up his time for the whole year.
I just want to mention for Mike's purposes is that actually we're going to turn the Report J into the Supreme Court here at the end of the month, so I thought coinciding with that, I could bring my full annual report next month to do it.
I might be okay. I have to take my wife to get surgery, so I may have to miss it. So if you do, you can tape it for me, okay?
I'll call you up.
I'm
you on a speakerphone so that you won't miss it. I don't want you to miss it.
I wouldn't.
It'll be good. It'll be really good.
I'll wear my sunglasses that day.
Just don't do it while you're driving.
Right.
Debbie, you're not on the agenda. Do you have something to
add? No, sir.
You just being nosy?
I'm here to observe.
Oh, okay.
Vanessa's backup if it became necessary.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Okay. Jeff, do you have a
report? Just the jail report. It includes the total for last year. As you see, the previous year we went down to 7 for the year, so pretty well everything's level on the amount of inmates.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Conner? Okay.
Mark, you can learn a lesson.
You're lucky I don't have a microphone.
Stephanie.
I handed out, we have our next heroin task force meeting at the end of the month. We've got Warden Jeff Parker from Southwestern Illinois Correctional Center in East St. Louis. And we're going to have a panel from our drug court people. Kind of the last meeting, it came up about people questioning if there was special prison facilities that had a focus on drug abuse, separate, keeping the population out from the general population. And there's two in the state of Illinois, and one is right here. So we're going to ask him to come and kind of tell us about the facility. Everyone in there is undergoing some type of substance abuse treatment, so we want to hear on that side and maybe what they could use. It's only for the two facilities are for males only, so there are no female facilities, so we kind of want to pick his brain on that. And then, again, drug court. So kind of the theme is, so you've been charged, here's what you can do to get help from actually within the system. So if you can come by, it's going to be right in the county boardroom on Wednesday the 28th. And then also, in case you hadn't heard, we had a nice jury verdict yesterday.
Yes.
After about less than 2 hours of deliberation. Grant City case, man is looking at 24 to 120 years in prison, helped serve 85%. He had multiple fractures, caused them on a seven-week-old infant.
Who's the judge?
It was Judge Knapp.
Great.
And our two prosecutors were Krista Louie and Kathleen Nolan, so...
He might spend a while in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to start 2015.
This, the Southwestern Illinois, is that the old Assumption High School?
I believe so. It's one in East St. Louis, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, because Dick Durbin used to always make that joke. He went to Assumption High School and always thought it was a prison, and now it is a prison.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Any questions for Stephanie? Any new business?
28.
Old business. I meant to earlier
to welcome Robert Pollard to our committee. It's his first time here, and I don't know if you'll get to know all these people.
Yeah, I know several of them already. So,
do you have any comments or anything like that?
Great, just listening. Motion. Just observing.
Observing.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.